We are.
So we're live, we're back. We're meant to have Kimmy on today, but she is stuck in traffic, unfortunately. There's nothing we could do about that. We could do it while she's driving, but let's not, eh? So she will be here next week, unfortunately, not this week. We'll have loads to talk about because obviously it is Alex Coventry next week. No, it's not. It's Alex Ali Pally. I'm so dumb.
I'm going to Alex Coventry. Just if you're going to make a date in your diary, make it that one.
Definitely not going to. He's too scared. He's going to get beat up.
You want to hit me in the face, any Alex Coventry's you want. So get down there. I'll be there getting smacked in the face by everyone from Unilite to eFix.
I know. Right. So before further ado, let's get down to it. Verso, number one fuse board manufacturer, pound for pound, in my opinion. I believe that their fuse boards are the most robust and best value for money. It is undoubtable that that is the case, because actually I've been using a few other supplied fuse boards and they are absolutely terrible. I'm not joking. I walked into the Phase Electrical Wholesalers and Skullmore in there, and they... Skullmore.
No, I never heard of them, mate.
And they're a Lucian board, and they said, do you want to try one? I was like, no. I tried one before, and it wasn't very good. And they're like, here's a version two. And there's a lot of things wrong with it. I'll just say that. Which I'll cover. If they ask me, I'll cover. But they're not as good as Verso. That's not my bias. That is a factoid. Anyway.
I'll just change my vibe because I've had a huge yours. Well, I'm just going to say, compared to every other manufacturer test gear, yeah, Chevron, are you the best? And all the others are just pure dog turd. No, not really. I'm not covering your style. Chevron, are new, sponsor my segment of the show. They pay for this lovely setting office behind me, and I support them because I think their test gear is decent, and I've done my due diligence. If you want to analyse electricity, or power quality, some power quality electricity, and do a load of other stuff that they do testers for, all I ask is that you give them a bash first. And if you don't receive the same service I get, tell me and I'll give them a hard time. But to be honest, I had to use someone else's test gear this week and it was shite. So give them a nod if you need anything. And I'm sure, positive, absolutely positive, they will sort you out with what you are wanting and you will like it. And all the software is free, which is the best bit that I never talk about. I'll talk about that. If you do a power quality log with a Chevron new analyzer, you ain't got to start sending them shitty PDFs and Word documents and screenshots. Your customer could download their software and you can send them the files that you've retrieved and they can analyze it like everyone else can. That for me is an absolute winner that I never mentioned. So yeah, give Chevron new a try. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I've not been, and I am one of the hardest people not to disappoint in the electrical industry. Cheers.
Just so as you know, this is not a turtleneck. This is like a zip-up jumper thing. But it is so cold in here and my heater's not working. And I can't be asked to fanny about of it. So just deal with it. You know what I mean? I'm just like a head, just like a floating head.
You look a bit like what's he called when he's doing his iPhone things before he died? What's his name? Steve Jobs. Looks like Steve Jobs.
I look like two Steve Jobs.
Fat Steve Jobs or someone from the Avengers. Sorry, Rose.
Is he all right?
I don't know. It's just me and you tonight. I'm a little bit excited because...
Yeah, do you know what? It is weird. It's been a while. I can't stop looking at the chat because I'm expecting it to blow up, but it's not going to this week. It's a bit weird having just us. It's been a while since it's just been us, hasn't it?
You said that sentence. There were 64 people in the chat. When you finished, it was 74. So you need to look after those 74 people because they keep coming back for more of this punishment, as well as our audio viewers.
So what's on the news tonight, pal?
Mate. I know we wanted Kimmy on, but we've got so much to go at news-wise this week. It's fucking unreal.
I am a bit gutted about Kimmy. I thought she's a perfect person to talk about one of our topics tonight.
But don't worry, we have got 5 items lined up here, which for us to say, we're both on half an hour editing option than usual, and we've prepped up. We could go for 2 hours like your mum. Number one. So this has been doing the rounds. I don't expect
anyone. I'm getting roasted, bruv. That milk tray man. Do you remember when the milk tray man was fat? There was milk tray man for ages. He was like this slick dude. And then one day he just come down and he was like, dad bod.
That's getting video memed by me this week. But yeah, anyway, we're going to do your mum jokes in the news, milk tray man. So this one was particularly going around this week. Now, let's not. I'm not getting negative on solar panels, right? We're not slagging off solar because I did free washes for free yesterday, which is nice. When I've got kids being shitty all over.
No, I'm a big fan of solar. I wish I could afford to put it on my house.
Solar's got legs, right? But it's no secret that there's a lot of shystering going off, and there's a lot to learn because, as we said the other week with FDDs, yeah, no SPDs, didn't we? I don't know that much about them in real life. I've read all the books, I've read the manuals, I've read the stuff, I've read all the bumf. But actual, real, hands-on life experience in the wild, everyone's in the same boat. So with this solar panel one, people are lobbing thousands of solar panels onto roofs of Aldi's, like in this situation. And who knows what's going to happen? Well, we've had something go off this week. I will come back to some of the things I found on solar farms. But yeah, a £70 million Lidl distribution centre in Peterborough. Don't know why we need to know how much it costs, yeah? That's what's going off now. The disappointment for audio viewers is a load of solar panels on fire on the roof. And it looks like, you know, when farmers burn off the straw, the last little bit of straw in the field, it's like a real low-level fire just spreading itself out over the solar panels.
It does look like that. I didn't even know solar panels were flammable.
Well, this is my thing, yeah. I went on a solar farm the other week with my apprentice who took me around showing what's going off, and they are glass. I was like, are they glass? Are they still glass, or are they like a membrane or something? But there's a sheet of glass across the front of them still. So how are they burning? What is burning? Is it the silicone bit burning? It's a very low-level fire in that picture.
Can't burn microchips, can you? Can't set them on fire, so it can't be silicon.
Well, something
silicon's flammable, bro.
I think it's a silicone, but it's got some backing on. It'd be interesting to find out what they're made out of. I'm sure someone will pop in the chat and tell us. But yeah, they are. I wouldn't say it's an inferno. It's not an inferno. It's just a slowly lumbering burn. Have you just burnt your mouth with hot tea? Are you choking?
Wrong
hole. Sam's drink went down the wrong hole. If you watch listening on audio, watch that because it's funner. That'll be getting meme later for a clip.
I nearly died.
But yeah, the fire is just slowly moving across the panels like one of them straw fires, yeah? Now, it's probably got put out quite easily.
This is a good point. Someone just said in the middle of little tools, the middle of little tools. Yeah, listen, that looks like it's in the middle aisle. So it's obviously one of their little lithium batteries gone.
They bought them off their own centre aisle. But the thing I'm getting at here is that is not a big fire. But it could cause secondary fires. Because obviously, in that warehouse, it's full of fucking cardboard boxes.
A lot of these warehouses, though, they are like just a tin shed. Literally just a tin shed with insulation inside that's not flammable.
Now, if that was brand new, you'd think they'd not put windows in that location, those fiberglass windows, so there'd be nowhere the fire getting inside. If that got inside, that would be bad. But also, I would imagine that roof covering's knackered. That's all got to come off. So someone somewhere is writing a big check somewhere. Someone's to blame somewhere.
What do you think this could be? I think it's very unlikely that that is a hardware failure. I hate to say it, but that's probably like a loose connection or something gone up there.
I know that the big solar farms drone footage their solar panels. This is information. I fucking had to go away. They give information. They do IR scans and thermal image scans of solar panels. And I read a rumor today on LinkedIn that about 40% of panels that enter the country got micro cracking. So they're damaged, but they don't look damaged.
Okay.
So that could be the case of that. Now, the fire spread, the facts are, there's a small fire that spread across the panels. The roof covering, the proper roof covering, is probably fucked and will need to be removed. That's going to be expensive. The solar will probably go back. Is it an MC4 connector? Is it a bad connector? I have had the biggest eye-opener working on a solar farm for the past week than I've ever had in my life regarding DC. I've seen, I put a YouTube video, I've seen a little nick in the cable ends up setting the whole lot on fire, how fire spreads down cables in both directions because it's fed from both ends. And it's a real eye-opener, having seen some of that. And they have, like, on farms, they have these fiberglass boxes called string arrays where they all come to. And someone's telling me, like, they'll come to them, they're just not there. There's nothing to be found. They've burnt completely.
I've heard that as well.
Little pile of copper on the floor.
Yeah, I've heard that those strings, they can burn out so quickly.
Combiner boxes, they're called. So they'll have a lot going off.
Because didn't you, hold on, I think I saw your video the other day about that.
Yeah, so we're getting well technical now. This is unusual for us. We'll be e-farming it soon. So imagine you've got a 50 or 70 mil duct that's got 12 strings in. When one of those gets nicked and gets damaged, it starts to break down and eventually it starts to burn. That's one cable out of those 24 cables, yeah? Then it starts to arc. Then it damages the cables around it. So the guard worker said, originally, they would pull in the broken cables again or put new cables in. Now they sever both ends of a duct and replace the entire thing, because once it started, it doesn't stop. So once there's been a problem, it continues. So they pull the old.
Oh, so it don't fire it like with normal electrics. It will sort of pop it out, like, so it just start burning. Like, I suppose you don't have breakers in line.
Well, no, the problem is, so strings. I'm trying to explain for all of you, yeah? You've got 12 strings in the duct, 24 cables, pos and neg. The first one damages the second one, damages the third one, damages the fourth one. The first one's now on fire, melting, causing a gap, but it's still melting because at one end in the day, it's live. And at the other end, it's live anyway. So even when those 24 cables totally separate with a foot gap in the middle, they still continue to burn down both ends because they're powered from both ends.
Oh, so my original thing saying that that is probably a insulation fault might be quite flawed, because there is such a thing as hardware faults with these solar panels. I thought they're pretty robust.
Well, no, cabling just burns. So, like, if you've if you've lots of things burn with sufficient arcing. So, if you, I call them donkey dicks, donkey dongs, yeah? Big load, big chunky lumps of cable. Big chunky lumps of cable with all the strings in, yeah? If you separate those strings, they can't set fire to one's next one, but they're not like that. They're in big lumps. So that's a problem, but that maybe that'll be catered for in design. But there's fuses at one end, not the other. They're not fused at the panels themselves. It's, honestly, I could do a whole like 1 hour YouTube video on it and all the problems that you get on big solar arrays. It's ridiculous. And when you think about it electrically, it all makes sense. So this one particularly, I mean, I know someone's bum's twitching somewhere, aren't there? Some installer somewhere's like,
geez. Oh mate, yeah. A manufacturer's not, because they're not even in this country. No one's going to care. But the installer is going to be at... Well, it's probably not a manufacturer problem. It's probably... like, it might be an installation. They might have kinked the cable.
Well, like, you get these... Have you seen them things that clip around MC4 connectors that stop fires?
Yeah.
You get your MC4 connector, you clamp it around it like a pencil case, and it stops... If the MC4 cable catches fire, it stops it getting out.
Yeah, but that's then, it.
What if the cable's damaged? You can't fireproof the entire thing. So, unfortunately, with all the new stuff, whether it be EV, renewable, solar, wind turbines, whatever batteries, no one knows what's going to happen. Like, insurance companies find out first and make changes, but we're all in. Everyone's in the Wild West with this, I think, of not knowing what's going to go off.
Hey, Bundy, I'm Sam. He's a specialist in renewables now. Listen, Andy Criddle Electrical, I'm just part of the show, man, trying to give my opinion.
ArcBox, it's called. Thank you, Oval.
But I do think there's... It's not a new technology, but it's a new technology being deployed en masse.
Yeah.
It's a technology newly being deployed en masse. So we're going to start seeing a lot more problems and a lot more solutions come in because it's become so popular so quickly.
If you've got 8 panels on someone's roof and 2 little DC cables coming down their loft and they catch fire, that will be a small fire. If you've got an array that's basically the size of a football pitch and 60 pairs of cables coming down a tray and they all catch fire, you've got a lot more to combust. So large-scale solar is going to have things like this happen. So, yeah, they're not the final.
I think it's just undeniable, especially with the amount of energy travelling down. The energy doesn't travel down the cable, does it?
It's all the directions. Also, I mean, let's not be funny about it, yeah. Gas boilers and diesel boilers catch fire. So we're not saying it's like, we're not slagging off.
It's just new things. It's like a new thing because of the deployment of this sort of thing en masse now. We're starting to see a whole new set of problems that probably wouldn't have come about had it not been deployed. Like 20 years ago, you didn't see that many solar panels on top of a building.
Do we start putting sprinklers underneath them? Do you have to have like bits of cable where the fire can be extinguished? I don't know, troughs of water, I don't know.
Or maybe like you have to have, I don't know if this is how they do it already, maybe like 5 panels have to go to a box and that has a trip on it.
Yeah, so on the roof, who knows? We're getting way too technical now. We'll move on. But yeah, it's an interesting one. First big solar fire, I believe, that's really got in the news lately anyway. But yeah, Lidl, centre aisle solar panels. Don't bomb, allegedly. That's a joke. News number 2, keeping it on the renewables vibe. We ought to just call ourselves Renewables Podcast.
I don't know. What is this shit news, Jamie? No, I'm joking. Well,
this one's quite good because it sort of proves me right because I'm about to be proved wrong. But this is a electric bus scheme in Leeds. Nottingham's had one of these for a considerable amount of time, yeah? So Leeds have rolled out a massive fleet of electric buses. But the problem is, there's nothing wrong with the buses. They're not catching fire. Don't worry about it. The chargers work. Everything's great. The only problem is, at night, they have now found out they can't charge them all at night because there's not enough electricity.
You love that, didn't you? Didn't you say? Didn't someone say that a couple of months ago?
There's not enough There is enough electricity as such, but there's not enough electricity that in the grid to charge the bus at the same time. So they've had to replace them with diesel. And the Lecky board is saying, we'll have enough electricity for you in like 6 months' time. But I doubt that.
Yeah. Do you know what? They're doing a gas upgrade up the road here, right? They've shut off the main road into Margate for a month. Oh, it's only going to be a month. All of a sudden, now it's 2 months. Do you know what I mean? Like, every time they say, oh, infrastructure this, well, it's definitely going to be done in a month. No, it's not. Anything to do with infrastructure, you might as well times by five.
I get people telling me I'm wrong. I mean, I deal with this stuff. I have dealt with stuff in the past year. And I know for a fact the cable that feeds my house on my street, I live in a Victorian terrace. It's 110 years old. That cable is the cable. That's the cable that was put in. It's a lead armoured. It was put together by blokes going around molten pots of lead. And a lot of streets like that. And another big building scheme in the 70s, they used another cable. I can't remember what it's called. Someone from the DNO will tell me. And that cable is now failing early because it's not as good as the lead stuff. And the modern cables have got a lifespan. But the simple fact is, if 10 people down your street buy electric cars, there's a good chance at some point they're going to go, nope. And this is what
I think that's probably more likely than it is not likely. All these EV people on Twitter, like, they are the worst, bro. No, do you know what's worse than EV people on Twitter? Those dickheads bikes that go and peep through the window and see someone sitting in traffic on their phone and get them 3 points. They're the worst people on the planet.
If you are, if out of the 130 people in the chat, if you're a cyclist or an EV driver, why don't you just leave now? Especially if you're a cyclist. But yeah, I did say this. I called this. And well, I didn't call it. For anyone in the energy industry, this is knowledge. Like, we haven't got enough capacity on the infrastructure we've got. So all this electric coal roller is going to be great until we run out of power and it just hits a stone wall.
And it's not just the fact that we haven't got the power. It's might be able to generate the power, but it's getting it to specific areas of the country where the infrastructure is not quite as robust as other areas. That's another issue.
I hope it's windy at night when we get all these EVs, you know, or we build some nuclear power stations, but it always boils down to, you've got three types. You've got generation, transmission, that's the big shit, and distribution, that's a little shit. So if it's made out of wood or it's underground, it's usually distribution. If it's big pylons, it's transmission, and no matter what makes, it's generation. And some of them are stronger than others. We can move a lot of electricity around, but it doesn't get right down your street to your EV, and it certainly doesn't get to the Leeds bus depot by the sounds of it. So, yeah.
Isn't it right that you can only put so much? It's like, the infrastructure network has nodes and you can only put so much through that node. So depending on your area, it would require massive upgrades. If say you lived on a housing estate and that housing estate, everyone went and bought electric cars. It's not the fact they can't get they can't generate the power to get it there. It's the infrastructure from that node, if you like, getting it to there. There's not enough
They built an housing estate near me, right? I've got to admit, right, the DNOs are good at this. You know, if you get your electricity put in by the DNO, they are good at it. They are foreseeing all the future problems and doing it right, yeah? There is a slight problem in that if you build an housing estate, you don't have to use a DNO. You can do what they call, I can't remember what it's called, but you can do it yourself. So near me, there's a substation, and about 150 metres away, they built a new housing estate. So I would have expected an HV cable to go to the housing estate, an HV substation to be put in, and a local distribution, yeah?
No.
No. They dragged the equivalent of a 185 cable to 40 houses.
Yep.
And put single-phase supply.
That's what they've done on the one I was working on.
DNO used three-phase now. So they cheaped out, got the bare minimum. I would imagine probably 4 or 5 people on that street can have EV chargers per phase before they start saying no.
Hey, listen, the whole place, I think they all come, every house come with an EV charger on this estate. Every house.
They may have linked them up so they don't charge when other ones charging.
No, they're not linked up. They're just literally bog standard, pulled straight into the fuse board on an armoured.
And simple fact is, yeah, if anyone's new, I don't understand, yeah, go and knock on 10 of your neighbours' doors and arrange to turn your shower on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and I guarantee you'll trip out the local substation. Because when the substation was put in, They were put in based on the loads of the 80s, 90s. And that's, although they've come down, we use less energy in our homes. We use less energy in general in our houses now, but we have lots more single bigger loads like EV chargers, showers, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's popular. And so it's the whole landscape's changed for every part of the grid, but we're not catching up quick enough, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but we're crap at every single type of infrastructure in this country. Every single type of infrastructure, from smart motorways to mobile phone networks. Terrible.
Well, I could do a 10-hour series of podcasts on infrastructure, yeah? Since it got sold off and it's become business,
bad.
The water, the gas, the electric, some bad. Of the shit. Some of the DNOs are very good, I've got to be fair. But like Severn Trent around me, we're always dumping sewage in the rivers, allegedly.
Other water. They're the worst.
It's bonkers.
Can't use the beaches in the summer now. Like, they have a flag on the beach to notify if you can go swimming or not, because whether they've dumped a load of old arto in the sea.
I hate to get fucking all, it's a bit too political for this podcast, but honestly, we are getting bummed by infrastructure companies all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
And eventually, we're going to end up like a third world country, like, oh, you can't rely on them a day. We're using electricity to charge them.
When I went to Turkey, like, you'd just be sitting there outside having a drink and that, and then just lights would go out, and we was up on the hill, and you could see all the lights go out, and then they're like, oh, no, this is normal. About 20 minutes later, they all come back on. I can see that happening here.
If
definitely.
Anyone's mad for a failing state that's having electrical problems, South Africa's a good one to look at. That's got so much corruption stuff and theft of stuff. They're lucky if they
don't
get...
they just nick the transformers straight out of the ground?
Yeah, they'll drag a transformer from lorry. They've got about 1 hour of electricity a day and it's getting worse. They are going to fail as a country because their electricity... Without electricity, gas and water and sewage removal, yeah, your country's knackered. And we have that all in the hands of private companies that are owned by foreign companies that don't really have any care. Like I said, I could do an old show and it'd be very boring, but... winter's coming for infrastructure. And on that bombshell...
Here we go.
I lost. I'm not wrong, but I've lost. And I'd like to take a moment to explain why.
Here we go. Go on.
Outdoor fuse boards. I've been grinding my axe on this for months.
Right.
So I said in this post on LinkedIn, yeah, BG... there was a lot of people using IP65 equipment to do this, yeah, fit a fuse board outside, right? BG, to be fair, sales-wise, it had a cracking idea to produce that piece of turd, allegedly, yeah? And they did. And topped off with our eFix video, they sold the entire trade, the idea, or a lot of people in the trade, the idea, you can fit fuse boards outside like that, and it's acceptable. And to be honest now, it seems to be acceptable. So I was against it. Then I found out, Pro used to bring one out, fuse box to bring out. Everyone's going to bring out one of these die-cast pieces of shit outdoor fuse board, yeah? So I've lost. There's nothing I can do. But what I do want to state is, and I've stated in this post, is that Octopus are in the market to buy 40,000 of these, not the BG ones. They're looking for 40,000 EV fuse boards to perform this kind of installation with, yeah? So every sparker, and I'm deadly serious now, yeah? And I'm going to, if someone gets offended, fuck you, yeah? Every sparker that condoned or did this, when do you think you're going to get another chance to look at changing that person's fuse board in the future? When do you think you're going to get a chance to pull a cable through their ass? You have done yourself out of thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of work. And we've lowered the standards. The electricians community have let the standards be lowered to this piece of shit. And now, all the EV installers that came along that were making money out of doing this, yeah, they've all, the turkeys that vote for Christmas, because now Octopus are going to wade in. They're going to get 35 grand a year blokes in vans, or ladies, of course, yeah? And they're going to buy them for a quarter of the price that you can buy them off some manufacturer, and they're going to slam them in everywhere, and no sparky will get to look at a bit of EV again. And because you don't get to look at the EV, you don't get to meet that customer, you don't get to go in the house, you don't get to test the board, you don't get to help them out, you don't get to contact with them. We've all, the sparkies voted, the turkeys that vote for Christmas, we have done ourselves out a thousand hours of work because we let that happen. And people will regret that. EV firms will go bust. EV installs will go bust because Octopus will mop it all up. We lowered the standards to have it mopped up by someone else. And I just want to make sure, get that out there, that that's my point on it.
Do you know what? What an excellent delivery of an excellent point. I didn't think of it that way. Why I've never. Do, fit. Why, I know. So, I know Zuri Electrical has.
Why do we? Why do we do it? What, We've been electricians for years, yeah? We did arses, yeah? When I started the trade, you always got electricity. Nah, solar. Let's let some big firm like Octopus start fitting it, or big firm like Octopus fitting heat pumps. All the things we get, all the golden fucking eggs that Joseph Valentine tell you going to make you loads of money, solar, heat pumps, EV chargers, fucking whatever, yeah? We always give it away. And this is a prime example of the sparky trade absolutely bumming themselves. And I'd want one thing to be straight, yeah? I couldn't give a fuck. Yeah, I'm a controls engineer. I've got no fucking mortgage, and it doesn't affect me one iota, yeah? But I was just trying to look after the train, look after the general spark, yeah? Quite a lot of people agreed with me. I got heavily fucking criticised by a lot of people on social media, particularly from BG, who can all fuck themselves. But you bummed yourself. You bummed yourself. You'll never fit a fucking EV charger again once Octopus get the teeth into it. So fuck you. And if you go bankrupt, you can't afford to feed your kids, it's the industry's own fucking fault. You should have fucking specialised in something that weren't wank. That's me, dumb. Cheers.
Oh, dear.
I can't emphasise how fucking stupid we are as an industry and how none of the fucking Knapit and ECF backed us up. When they was using them displacement connectors, you know, the ones that fit into the cable, the IT come out and said, these are no good, they wank. Where are they on this one? Where are they? It's because the schemes like the NIC, NAEP and that just want fucking members that are big to join the schemes and pay money. And every normal sparker, the self-employed sparker that keep the things ticking over, just fucked themselves. So that, I just want to get it out there. That's what I feel. I know it took 5 minutes of your time, viewers. I'm sorry.
No, but I think it's
might be stupid.
I think it might be the rant of the year, mate. I can't actually argue a point with you. I think the only thing that you might be missing on that is that you ain't stopping Octopus. You
it's
ain't
not
stopping
that,
it.
Though. We let them in, right? The thing is, I want some rewirable fuse boards, right? And asked a few spokes, said, do you ever come across these? So we take them out all the time. You don't realise how big the UK is till you go into a plane and fly over it, and then realise everyone who asks has got a fuse board in. And some of the fuse board outfitters and apprentices for foreigners, they're old now, but this, it's not just the EV work we've lost. You get to go in their house. Oh, do you know that fuse board's actually dangerous? That needs upgrading, that's old. But when you fit one of these, they get stuck with the same fuse board for 20 years. How much work have we lost? How much work have we given away? It fucking pisses me off.
It is true. Libby at Azuri taught me a little trick. When you do an EV charger, even if you don't put in a new board, put in a board anyway, close to if there's space, put a board close to where the old board is, and then just like a full-size board, run a new EV off of it, so it's easy. At some point, you'll get a call back to swap it all over into the new fuse board.
Back in the day, though, right, we went to split load RCD boards, yeah? And EV was an opportunity to go to people's houses. Oh, do you know now things have moved on? You can have AFDDs, you can have surge protection, you can upgrade your fuse board, you can have a bigger one, you can use more circuits, we've got different things going off. Nah, don't even look at it. We just slam one of those outside. And then Margaret in her house goes, oh, that fuse board's been all right for 20 years, because she doesn't understand that things have moved on. So now the actual change in the fuse boards will reduce, I think, personally. There'll be less of it. And how much work is that for the day-to-day spark?
Yeah, it's a big part of, I think it's certainly from what I've been told, a big part of it, EV upgrades is getting that fuse board as well.
Also, how does this comply? The DNO's isolator is not sufficient. That's not the single point of isolation. The single point of isolation should be in your fuse board in your house. If something happens in your house and you go turn off your main switch, everything should go off because you can usually get to your fuse board. No one's going outside and turn the fucking main isolator off. It doesn't comply with a single point of isolation, but all the big organisations, Electrical Safety First, NIC, NAEP, they're all fucking doing bollocks about it. And I think I still genuinely believe it will get regged out. But till then, I don't know. Maybe I'm just.
I don't think it will get regged out because you got to think these fuse board manufacturers, they sit on JPL 64.
Well, that's what a spot I made. I forgot about that. These people sit on the fucking thing to sell shit and they don't care what they're selling as long as they're selling, which is why this entire eFix BG outdoor board was subduedly sold to us. But it's bollocks. Do you know how many fucking times I've been to a house and gone, right, I've got to get a shower. What spark is not had to fucking get a shower cable in the most awkward way? Are you going there?
No.
Well, I could have, do you know how many fuse boards I could have slapped outside and wired shower circuits in? But why is it only EVs that you can do this with? If you did that with a shower, you'd still get called a shyster. Is he having a piss outside? But I just don't get it. I can't wait to read the chat back. Because if you... Is that it now? If someone wants a socket next to their fucking fridge, do you just stick an outdoor fuse board in? What? Are you coming back or what? Why don't they just make bigger fuse boards so we can have the entire fuse board outside? Why bother going in the outside? Oh, why just wiring around the outside of the building? Just fucking put a big fuse board outside... Put train around the outside of your ass and wire the entire house from the external. Fucking bollocks, mate. Honestly.
It is actually a good point. Like, why don't they just, like, where does it stop? Do they just...
What's next? Yeah, fucking, what are you going to do? Have a fucking fuse in there for your Christmas lights or something? You know, fuck those.
No, but it's true, though. Like, you could, like, so say BG bring out a full-size outdoor fuse board.
Yeah, fucking...
Where does it stop?
Double stack BGIP65 outdoor fuse board. Just wire everything from it. Why chop up your plaster in your newly decorated house and just run a load of fucking cable around the outside of it? It'll look like Taiwan in a fucking couple of weeks. In fact, why bother with fuses at all? Why don't we just run a bit of fucking steel around the outside of the house, just tap everything off it with crocodile clip? Fuck me. This is the biggest...
An outside buzz bar.
Yeah, we'll have outdoor. This is the biggest downfall of the electrical industry in the UK in 100 years. Fucking wank, mate. Honest to God. Fucking dicks.
And to be fair, you have shouted this from the rooftop since the beginning.
And also, if BG want to come on, or any people... Everyone's on the bandwagon now, yeah? BG, I get you played it well,
ain't
yeah?
coming on.
They played it well. I can't argue, yeah? But what we've got to remember is there's only one media outlet that's for Sparkies, by Sparkies, thinking Sparkies, that's us. Everyone else is fucking just trying to sell you shit. People will see that, oh, that makes my life easier. You just fucking took yourself out of 8 hours, were you, daft bastard? I just can't get over it. It's just fucking pure stupidity. I'm not stopping going about it now. I'm going to give myself a fucking hernia.
Someone put Sparks overhead, put Sam's ripping out his BG outside board.
There's nothing wrong with it. Be right, yeah? There's nothing wrong with that product. There's nothing wrong with RP65 products, yeah? They've got the uses, but... Not how that eFix video portrayed it, just straight outside your ass, not giving a fuck. I mean, why don't I just put one in my shower cubicle if they're RP65? I'll stick one in my fucking bathroom, you know what I mean? Who gives a shit? Honestly, it's bollocks. It will always be bollocks, and I'll fucking darn the hill that's bollocks. And BG and eFix should be ashamed of perpetrating that crap. And obviously now, every other org, it'll be all of them soon. Fusebox are bringing one out, but they'll all be on the bandwagon.
Verso will...
They've got to, because they've got to compete. If Octopus are buying 40,000 of them, although they'll sell them at a cheaper price, they'll have to produce one. And I have heard on the grapevine, they're not buying that one. So BG didn't even get the big fucking order. That one's not the one they're buying.
Probably be Proteus. They've got a good name, haven't they?
I've heard it's Fusebox, but that's allegedly.
Really?
But how embarrassing would it be if Fusebox basically nicked the idea, brought one out, and then nicked the big order? You'd be fucking...
Didn't Fusebox get bought by Robus, who make...
Allegedly.
...chargers?
Allegedly, maybe, I don't know.
That might be why they bought them, so they could do the all-in-one package.
But I tell you what, you know, if Octopus start using the Fusebox ones, that will imply to industry that they're better, and those ones will be going... They'll be just... No one will buy them, will they?
Let's be honest. Not slagging off BG, right?
I'm not slagging them off. I'm slagging off this concept.
If Fusebox bring out one, you're never going to buy a BG one. If Verso brought out one, you're never going to buy a BG one. The general consensus about BG is it's lower tier. It's sold in Screwfix for 100 quid. I mean, what do you want?
Well, that's where a lot of EV Spark is shopping it. But to be fair, that's not a bad product. It's rigid. It's solid. It's all right. Just don't think it's going to last very long outside. Die-cast aluminium doesn't like salt. So once the coating goes, it starts to rot. But it's not a bad product for liking garages and fucking things.
Did I ever tell the story about the dog pissing on the light?
Was that in your house?
No, it's at my friend's house. So I installed these outside lights, driveway lights, and his dog used to go out every night and have a piss. And he didn't really understand where the dog had gone. Anyway, I went round and he had a problem with one of the lights and it had completely corroded. It was aluminium, cast aluminium. And it had completely started degrading and it would literally crumble off in your hands. And then what he realised is that his dog was going out and pissing up that light. because none of the others had deteriorated. So, yeah, watch out for dogs pissing on the fuse board.
Just in fairness, yeah, it's not a totally fucking... I think it's shit because here's some of them proper actual... We know that, we're just gobbing off being a knob about it, yeah? Here's some of the actual things I want answering. First of all, that metal enclosure, it's not RCD protected, is it? It's, those cables are straight off the fucking tails. So that actual metal enclosure is not RCD protected. All the circuit coming out of it is, the enclosure's not. Also, if you fit them like that, they're at a child's height. And as far as I'm aware, that BG one is not lockable. I do believe the new ones, the improvements some of the other manufacturers made is making them lockable. But that BG one there is not lockable. So kids fucking around with that when it's wet. It's not RCD protected. There's a few other bits and bobs I don't like about it, but what about heights? Are the regs going to start saying, well, outdoor now, you've got to have stuff at certain heights? I don't know, but I've got quite a few actual technical... Without going on a ramp, which is what sells on this podcast, yeah, what gets his legs, is technically I could do a one-hour presentation piece on why it's technically wrong, but I don't know if anyone would watch that.
The thing is, I don't... If what you're saying about in, like the enclosure not being RCD protected, that must fail a reg, no?
It's not, though, is it? The enclosure itself has got cables entering it. It's external. If that was a socket, well, I suppose if you put an outdoor RCD protected socket on it and you feed it with a cable that's not RCD protected, that's sort of fine because it's a plastic, but that's metal. So the cables that pass through the bottom left hand side of that enclosure are not RCD protected. Like, so, and it's outside. And the last electrical death we had was from earthing. The last electrical death, fact, Harvey Terrell, watch David Savory video, like I say all the time, yeah, was caused by a child coming into contact with a metal unearthed enclosure. And now we're doing that.
And diverted neutral current.
Oh, but now that's a really interesting idea. How would that affect it? Could that enclosure become live? Oh, this, well, good point. Fucking hell. Who'd have thought you'd have said that? I thought that's something I'd read off Dave in the chat, but fair one. I just don't like it. You know, if they said, don't fit in below 2 metres, I'd be slightly less annoyed about it. But what they're implied, that video implied, slap it next to your meter box, which is a lockable enclosure made out of fiberglass, a very well, a thing that's very UV and water resistant. Lockable enclosure. Would you want an your you know, if a door fell off your meter box, you'd fix it, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want kids getting in there water. And now we're doing
you wouldn't fit that next to that box like that. You'd have to fit it above, case scenario.
But that video implies that's okay. And there's no way eFix had just done it like that. They spoke to the manufacturer of that board and they've all come together on how that entire video would play out. And that video has installed in hundreds of thousands of Sparkies that's okay. And I don't think it is. But anyway, we'll see. Only time will tell, I'm afraid.
Do you know what I would have actually done? Probably put... Oh, no, you probably couldn't. Maybe you could. I'd have done a metal coupler into the side of it.
That wouldn't be earthed. I mean, if you put an RCD in the fucking... If you put an RCD in the meter box, even better. But in that particular video, they don't do it like that. I just think there's a lot of questions to answer about that video and the impact it's had on the industry.
Libby
and
says, put it
why
inside...
Why are we answering it? Why are we answering the questions?
Libby says, put it inside an IP enclosure.
Fine, with a little eater, fine. But what I'm saying is, why is it shitty Sunday night podcast bringing this up? Why aren't the big boys looking at this? We've shouted about it enough. Why is no... This is a thing now. This is a thing. Doing this is a thing, yeah? Octopus are going to be doing that. It's a big thing now. Why aren't any of the major trade organisations for electrical industry looking at it and issuing guidance notes? They fucking love selling £45 guidance notes to every bastard. They love selling those new regs every week and bringing out amendments. Why is no one from any of those organisations admitting that this is happening and offering guidance on it? Why are we just all winging it? Because they're dicks, that's why. But anyway, shall we move on now?
But do you know what? Do you know what? I'm going to say this, and I very rarely do things like this. This is the only place in the industry online that you're going to hear that rant. Everyone else is bought and sold, with the exception of like Savo and that. And not to belittle anyone, but ain't no one going to step out on a ledge and say what you've just said.
I'm dying on the air. Powerful. You know, normally, like people dying for electrical things, I don't like to speak about it. I know eFix News love it, but when someone corks it off one of them, I'll be fucking all over it like a rash. I will have to be, because I just don't think it's safe. And that's my job, is to maintain electrical standards and try and promote that in the industry. And this is the exact opposite of it, for cash. Cash. Oh, let's fucking sell loads of these. Fuck safety. That's my opinion, allegedly. So, yeah, I've got to move on now because I'm getting bored.
I've got to change the whole thumbnail now.
We're only on item two of the news, but I just feel that strongly about it. I just fucking do. I think it's not safe, and I think it's just affected us in ways we won't even imagine. To, like Part P. Part P was the greatest thing ever. Now we've got loads of five-day sparks embedded in the industry, which brought the wages down, which is the next subject, funnily enough. And this is just another thing that I'm the one gobbing off like a nutcase, like people do. But in 10 years' time, I think some people will admit I was right.
I think you're right now, mate. I think we're already starting to see it. I mean, if you're a good electrician and you do that, is it that bad if you take it?
Are you a good electrician?
Who, me? No. If you take into some certain things into consideration, can you deploy one of them in the field? Yeah, absolutely. It's not a problem. But what you're saying is it will be whittled down to the lowest common denominator and you'll have an ex-postman slinging them in for fun for Octopus, who's been on a five-day special course set up by Octopus to sling them in, allegedly.
Just the one thing here all the time I want to address is someone go, oh, in new builds now, they put the fuse board in the middle of the house, it's really hard to get to. So fucking what? I'm a skilled electrical engineer, mate. I've been getting cables through fucking buildings for years. That's our fucking job. Not because it's hard. We didn't go, oh, we're not going to land on the moon because it's fucking hard, did there? Get your fucking cable to the fuse board. Be creative. Is the art of getting a cable to a fuse board that dead now? We've got a wire thing around the outside of his fucking arses. Because if it is, well, I'm off to mess anyway, but if that's your excuse, you're a fucking shit spark, I'm afraid. There you go. And on that bombshell.
You've killed outdoor fuse boards.
Yeah, now. I hope so. Right, where are we now? What news? We've got over there. Rod to the features now. So, yeah, that's the end of the news for tonight. We've got some features now.
No, hold on.
Yeah, my missus has run off with someone from BG, Adam.
I think you're ranting about the wrong thing. It's the install quality or finish that matters. I don't think so.
All right, then. I'll give you that. The higher the install, if you silicone that all up to the end of its life and it's all good, then you reduce the chance of water ingress, but still got a fucking metal box and not RCD protect, haven't you? And no matter how well you install it, if someone smashes the wheelie into it, that's where I'm at. I will read this tomorrow. I'll read back through that and address some of the comments, but I'm going to stop banging on about it now on my Instagram and that, because I think the main point was that's an established method now and I don't think it should be, but meh. Right then. Don't get off your fucking shoebox just yet, kids. Here we go again. Right. Again. I'm 41. I've been in the trade since I was 17. What are you?
I've 41? Been since 23 or something.
And let's face it, no kids are watching this. Most people
I qualified in 2008.
Most people in there are going to be 10-year sparks, yeah? Right? This is an advert for audio viewers. It says, this is in the well-fettled Facebook group, Jobs for Electricians, GIB Electricians, yeah? Two electricians needed in London, East London, Southwest London, must be willing to travel, should have good experience in residential work. It's probably fucking EV chargers. 8 hours a day, rate 21 to 23 quid an hour. I could honestly say the first day I went self-employed in 2004, I was charging 25 quid an hour getting work. What the fuck has happened to our rates?
This is an age-old argument, and I was a part of this circuit for many and many a year. I've seen it as low as £12.50 an hour.
Here's the next one. There's another advert here.
Wait a minute, man.
It's the same vibe, because that's 120 to 150.
No, this is a whole different one. Let's go back to that one first.
Going back.
So I've seen the rates go from £12.50 an hour in 2008. That was my first job. It was £12.50 an hour. It was at a peak of the recession. There was no jobs in London. Everything had been shut down. And I was lucky enough to get on a job at St. Thomas's Hospital, I think. Now, I've seen it go as high as £28 an hour, but this is not bad money for 8 hours. 8 hours a day, what's that work out? About 190 or something.
I'm not...
That's about London money, really. It's London money.
Mate, on a GIB firm, I think the GIB London rate's 19 quid an hour, isn't it? You'd be not far off.
About 16 quid.
Is it?
Yeah.
We need to readjust the show on GIB rates and that and do this because I just think that's dog shit. I was on that 20 years ago.
A lot of this is all governed by agencies who take their cut out of it. So if an agency is selling you for 40 quid an hour, that's what you should be getting. So a lot of these companies are governed by the supply and demand of the industry. So if agencies are setting their rates at £50 an hour, but they're selling you out at £25 an hour, really you should be getting £50 an hour. But you ain't, because an agency in that layer that takes their cut for your work. So this is the problem. The introduction of agencies really devastated the industry and the earning potential of what you could get when the demand was high. When the demand's low, obviously you expect it to come down. But even when the demand's high, the rates don't really go up that much. The highest rate that you'll see, maybe the best rates I've seen in the last 10 years might have been £35 an hour.
We're just a nation of middlemen, aren't we? It's all the middlemen that fuck everything up. It's like...
That's why I got out of it.
If rates continued like they had with inflation from when I was a lad, we'd be on like 35, 40 quid an hour for a basic spark. But like, how can a normal working person with the typical two kids and a wife or whichever way the sex is around, yeah? How can they support their family on that fucking shit wage and run a van?
For a long time.
Insurance is through the fucking roof. Van insurance. I'm not insuring the fucking Space Shuttle Columbia. I'm trying to insure a Ford Transit. It's fucking gone up ridiculously. My actual insurance for me, my public liability, and that's gone up. Everything's going through the roof, but the wages are not rising to suit. It's ridiculous. Who can afford to live on that in London?
But to be honest with you, with this, right, I don't really have any sympathy for anyone on that circuit anymore. I set out to be the saviour of that circuit at one point. I set up the union to fight back against these shit wages, get more work direct. But the reality is, if you are in that circuit doing that sort of work for those prices, you are your own worst enemy.
I still stand by the fact that, and I've said this over and over again, that Part P was the start of this. There was space before Part P for four-year apprenticeships and adult trainees to come in as well, yeah? And I know there's some five-day wonder sparks on it that have gone on to be good sparks, yeah? And I respect them that have done that, but that's what brought it down, because there's a lot of... It just influx the trade with a load of sparkies. And this is what I see now, yeah? There's a lot of electricians about. You know your bog standard GIB-graded electrician? There's loads of them. They're 10 a penny, which is why they can pay that shit money. However, technicians and approved sparks are less because, and this is not, I'm not being rude about people, they haven't got the nonce, they've not been in the trade and got the experience long enough because they came in quick to move on to the jobs. There's not a flow through the industry of like, you know, like a rank structure in like the army or the four-star thing where you get better and better and you move up and up. You've got a lot of people malingering around the electricians area and there's a massive shortage of designers and engineers because there's none available because they haven't done a proper apprenticeship and learnt the trade properly.
It's not even that, mate. It's agencies taking a massive cut out of it, and it's electricians taking... This is the easiest way to earn money, is to be a JIB gold card electrician. You literally can go and earn £200 a day anywhere in London by just having your golden ticket, right? Mm-hmm. Your golden ticket is your JIB card. It's the easiest way to earn £200 a day on the planet once you've got your ticket.
But in London, it's going to cost you. It's laziness. It's going to cost you an hour's pay to fucking buy your sandwiches.
It's the laziest form of getting work. So if you try and get work via the laziest form, what do you expect to get paid? The hardest form of work is to go out by yourself and put your balls on the line and go out and get your own work and live and die by the sword. And that is very difficult.
They brought our IR35 to shaft us all doing that, didn't they? Because all the scumbags were making too much money. So they forced all into agencies. It's such a scam, the industry. But again, where are the traders' associations? Well, I'll tell you where they are. They're sucking off all the big firms.
They are.
The JIB, the NIC, NAPIN,
ECA.
All they're bothered about is licking the bumholes of the big firms, yeah? Your average day-to-day sparky that we say we represent on here.
That's why I'm completely out of it.
Don't give a fuck about you.
I work for people locally. It's so much easier. I've earned so much more money. I don't have all the bollocks that comes with it. Because for that £21 to £23 an hour, you are, for all extensive purposes, a slave for those 8 hours. You can never do enough for them. Ever.
I won't fucking bother, because I know if you are the kind of guy or girl that's switched on and wants to progress and you're doing that to get your thing up. Like, was it Joe we had on at Christmas who was, I said, what are you doing that in London for, mate? You know what I mean? He wanted to get on and get better. But if you're doing that in London and you don't want to be any more than Sparker, you'd be better off working in Aldi on the till. You get 15 quid an hour on the till. By the time you're taking off your travel and you probably the fact you can just nick sandwiches in Aldi and not buy them, you're probably on more money. And you've got fucking tools. Look how much tools cost. It just makes me sick that that's the way the trade's going to that.
That circuit is a great circuit to learn your skill on. It's a great circuit to be a part of for a short period of time. And it's a great circuit to like get your chops in. But the reality is, the only way you can make money is by having your own business making money for yourself. The second you think you're going to get rich working for another company, unless it's your best mate and you are going in on some mad tear together, outside of that, you ain't making a fortune working for one of these companies. It is simple as that.
And again, who's representing these people? Not in the self-employed part, just these people that work on the site. Without these people, major infrastructure projects don't get done, yeah? Major projects don't get done.
Yeah, none of the big projects don't get done.
No one. Obviously, a lot of these will be cheaper labour, maybe foreign labour, maybe people coming over and living here or lodging big ass. Yeah. Number. It's just decimating the trade. Because
Your average English person, 2.4 children, used to be able to make a very good living from being a commercial industrial spark.
Yes.
Grabbing your tool bag, going into London, jumping on a job.
Yeah.
Right? You cannot survive on it now. It's not a thing.
No, I think you're right. I mean, who's going to get the weekly shopping out of that? 8 out of 40 hours at that rate.
What's it work out at?
You fuel all that. Not a lot. Not a lot.
I should bloody know.
It's not a bag of sand, is it?
All right, let's have a look. So let's go for the higher end. 23 times 8... times 4, so 736, and that's after tax.
What if you £736,
and so, that is without travel up to London. So you've got to live somewhere roughly near London and all that, and you've got, mate.
Who's going to get asked for that? You're going to be paying. Oh, this is getting a bit political. This, but you're not getting a mortgage for that, are you? You're going to be paying rent to some massive fucking rental firm, getting bumming you for your ass. That's probably got a leaky roof. It's shambolic. The traditional working person in the UK has been treated lately. I mean, we're going like this on this podcast, but this is talking on.
But I don't think you can blame anyone else other than yourself if you're in that position. I know a few people who just went bollocks, like Ricky, former host of this show, Electrician's Guide to Everything podcast. He just decided one day, he was my partner in crime when it come to setting up the union, and he went, fuck this, I ain't doing this no more. I'm getting a job locally, and I'm going to work my way up in the company. That's my aim. Now he's a director.
When I was doing MVQ assessing, there's a lot, these luxury flats that aren't fucking luxury, the slums of the future. I had a load of lads from a firm that were doing these luxury flats, right? And they sending me videos, it's all done on video, and I watched these videos going, is this the fucking state of the trade? And one of the lads, he's a good lad, actually. There's some good lads on there, don't get me wrong, but the wiring was shambolic. And this one guy, he was a particularly good spark and he was snagging. And some of the videos were sending me like going, right, here I am in this room, That switch over there is meant to be two-way with that switch, but they haven't put the cable in. And I'm like, they're taking boxes off and there's like the plasterboard and the bat box is 4 foot back on like the massive longest screws you can get. It's like, those luxury flats, they are fucking, most of those conversions of flats that I see in Nottingham and where I live, they're slums. Most new builds are fucking slums of the future. Like, they're just trying to, they're putting us all into neat little rows, paying us nothing, and putting us in arses we can never afford. It's ridiculous.
But ridiculous.
Trade-wise in this country, we can't even do a major infrastructure project. We can't bang out any decent arses with people. I think even the arse builders, generally I believe, arse builders, I'm not naming it because they've got the money to sue me, they are making arses that will only last 30 years before they need refurbing, because otherwise they'd have no work in the future, would they?
I think you're right, mate. I just think if you are doing this sort of work, the only person you can blame for your your position is yourself. I started saying this about 10 years ago. You're only responsible for yourself in this world. And if you think starting a union and trying to fight back against these shit wages is going to do a fucking thing, you ain't going to do shit.
No, because the big boy firms who are all members of the big organisations that are supposed to be the sparks just will go, well, great, cheap wages, that suits us.
Yeah, of course it is.
Because when you get like these massive multi-million pound infrastructure projects, they'll never break it down, but you can guarantee the low labour's one of the lowest costs.
Like yes.
They pay more.
No, fucking no. It'd be one of the highest costs, you idiot.
No, it wouldn't.
Labour?
The labour will be one of the lowest costs. The actual labour getting paid to real people, there'll just be some consultant in the middle whipping loads of it off.
Go to the next one. Not that one.
No, that's the other one. This one, electrician. This is the classic. This is an advert, genuine advert this was. I can't remember where I got it from, but I screenshot it from somewhere. Electrician doesn't need qualifications, but need to be able to do the job. What the fuck? What the fuck are you on about? Whoever wrote this should be strung up from a tower. Electrician, I'll read it so everyone can get it. Yeah, audio viewer, stand by. Electrician doesn't need qualifications, but need to be able to do the job. Mainly domestic rewires, consuming its ERCRs. General knowledge of the job, must be able to work on your own. Can advise on some things over the phone when needed. 0 hours contract, 100. Is this a fucking joke? I've only just read it properly. Has someone put this online to bait me? Electrician doesn't need qualification, but need to be able to do the job. What the fuck?
That is hilarious.
Pilot doesn't need qualifications, but needs to be able to fly. The fucking ball bags. But yeah, you need to not be qualified.
Can advise on some things over the phone. Dude,
fucking dick. Oh, 0 hours contract. £120 to £150 a day. That guy, whoever's put that, that's a bloke, yeah? Whoever's put that job in there, you're a fucking dick.
That's brilliant, but do you know what? He still get phone calls for it. He will get phone calls for it, 100%.
Who the fuck? Who's working for £120?
Will want to do that because they haven't got their qualifications. They've got their ECS card with no qualifications on. They go, yeah, I've been doing it for years, mate.
The one thing about this
particular supposed to run is, jobs with 20 geezers.
The particular one about this job is, right, is, you know, if you're desperate for experience, you know, if you're one of these, I'm not knocking these guys, you know, these guys that go and get Sober Dream and do all the courses and then desperate to complete their MVQ level 3 and need to go on a site and get the pictures and all that, yeah? That's not even any good for you because you're not going to get no fucking experience on that job apart from your gaffer down your phone telling you what a thick twat you are because you can't do an ERCR even though you're not qualified. Like, don't even take those jobs for experience because there's no experience to be had. You're not going to be working with a Rolls Royce Spark, are you? On a 0 hours contract, not needing to be qualified, £120 a day.
Can advise on some things over the phone. That is brilliant.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Everyone rings someone for a bit of advice on the phone, but not like, right, I've got these clips. Yeah, they've got a nail sticking out of them the wrong way. What do I do with it? Like, who's doing that? What poor bastard's getting this guy in the house? Honestly. Fucking hell, we are negative tonight. But geez, this is the stuff that's
happening. That's been a good one. I will say, right, we was going to do another topic. We ain't going to do it now. There's no point. We might as well wait for Kimmy next week.
Honestly, I just want to... I think what we could boil it all down to tonight, if we're going to wrap it up, because I didn't realise it was that late, yeah, is... What the fuck are the industry people, the NICs, the ECAs, the Electrical Safety First, keep saying them over and over again, yeah? What are you doing about that? People advertise for electricians that don't need to be qualified. What the fuck? How's that going through? Are they even insured on site? That's like saying, oh, I need a van driver. Don't need a license, just need to be able to drive. You can't be insured. It's the same fucking thing. They're not insured. They're going to be.
Yeah, but they're not going to tell their insurance, are they? They're going to expect you to have your own liability insurance.
I bet this fucking lot were on Lidl's roof in Peterborough fucking 6 months ago. What? Oh, Jesus. Surgeon required. Don't need to be qualified. Just need to do the job. Read a medical manual.
No, to use a knife.
Yeah. What you like with machetes? Fucking bollocks.
Listen, Jamie, you brought the fire tonight, man.
I feel sad that it's not been as fun as it could have been, yeah, but we are the podcast. We're the podcast fire. By electricians, for electricians, yeah, and we just want to know where the ECA are, where the fucking NAPIT are, where the NIC are, where the fucking Electrical Safety First are when all this shit's going off. This ain't our job. And like, well, the annoying bit about this podcast is people we hate, like E5, will come on and want to agree with us. Oh, fucking hell. Jesus. Now we are really getting serious.
So I was coating off the electrical safety first, and it's not them I was meant to be coating off. It's an electrical round table I was meant to be coating off. So I got that wrong. So apologies to electrical safety first.
Is that the first apology on this podcast ever?
I don't know. No, you just apologise about getting it wrong about outside fuse balls.
I know, I admitted I'd been defeated. I didn't admit I was wrong. Let's be serious about that. But yeah, but unfortunately, every industry now, I was actually did an interview the other day. This is might just wrap it up. I did an interview with a guy from Switzerland. And I understand that the Swiss are very, the Germans and the Swiss traditionally have treated engineers, electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, like doctors and that kind of level, yeah? And I says, oh, we don't, I said to him, I said, we don't treat engineers like you do in Switzerland anymore. He went, oh no, it's the same here now. They're just like 10 a penny, like slapdash, this kind of advert, no qualifications and stuff.
You see this, you see this no qualification stuff. That is not unusual in the subby land. You know that, don't you? Like probably 5 to 10 to 1 in the subby land are unqualified.
But what I'm saying is, right, is what's the future? Because the sparkers that just get by doing rewires, yeah, that can't handle a little bit extra, they just carry on being sparks, yeah, but some people move up to be engineers and designers and that. In 10 years' time, there won't be no one that knows fuck all. Loads of skills are dying. Loads of knowledge is dying because we've got this slapdash shit system that just wants people to rush stuff in. Who's going to design the next big infrastructure project with skills like this?
Electricians Podcast. We are out
of energy. Fucking hell.